Good morning. I'm involved on the extension side of the Great Plains Grazing Project, which is a USDA NIFA-funded coordinated agricultural project. And just would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Audrey King, who's the graduate student that's been conducting this research, and colleague Lori Baker in our Agricultural Communications and Education Department. So we started out, as the extension team has been working, one of the themes that came out in our discussions was the challenge of how do we work with producers to encourage their adoption of best management practices. And so this presentation is in the theme of the grazing sector, the cattle industry, but I think has applications beyond that. So Kansas and Oklahoma are in the top five of cattle producing states. We were faced with a pretty severe drought across the region beginning in the southern part in 2011, moving into Kansas into 2012. And that's resulted in lower cattle numbers, stress to our pasture systems, our range systems. And so, you know, there's an opportunity, I think, at this point in time to look at how we can work with our producers to encourage them to rethink the best management practices that they're using, look at adding some additional best management practices into their systems that at the end of the day will give them the ability to continue to be resilient and continue to support the cattle industry so that it's viable and can withstand the weather pressures that we see across the southern Great Plains. And so, you know, it's interesting as we've dug into the literature, and Gillespie looked at best management practices and their adoption from an economic approach, but, you know, he sees it as really an unexplained phenomenon as to why producers don't accept or don't adopt best management practices when you look at it from an economic sense. But really, there's a whole social aspect to this that we need to understand. And so the purpose of this research was to look at those social factors, those barriers that producers face in whether they choose to adopt or not adopt best management practices. And so we looked at this with three kind of main research questions. What were the perceptions and awareness of our producers in the region? And what were the information sources, or where did our producers draw the information that they used as they looked at different best management practices? And what were the barriers that they saw, or why did they choose, you know, if they knew this information and they could see the advantages of the best management practices, why did they choose not to adopt those or bring them into their system? And so this was a qualitative project. It consisted of semi-structured in-depth interviews. And these were done one-on-one, usually in the producer's home or office, and the interviews were recorded, transcribed, and then Audrey has been going through the transcriptions, coding those to identify emergent themes. And so over the course of the late spring and summer, 43 producers were interviewed in South Central Kansas and North Central Oklahoma. Many of these interviews were facilitated by extension agents or an initial producer that we were connected with by an extension agent that then shared other names of other producers that we could contact to interview. And as we've started to aggregate this information, we've grouped them into three ecoregions. And so we have the ecoregions are defined by EPA. And so we've got the Southwestern Tablelands region, Through here, we've got the Central Great Plains, which is really the heart of wheat grazing, and then we've got the Flint Hills with a lot of summer native range pasture. And so pretty good distribution of producers in each of those three ecoregions. And so as we've been going through the data, and Audrey's in the process of writing her thesis right now, two core emergent themes have come out of this work. Farmer networks play an important role, and they can both be barriers to adoption as well as a tool that can be used in encouraging adoption of best management practices. And then there's this whole grouping of perceptions of self and how a producer sees their operation, their interactions with their peer groups, and their perceptions of, I've got practices listed here, but government, non-government organizations that may be providing support for practices. You know, the farmer networks present an opportunity to be an information source, certainly an opportunity, and I've got some quotes here that we'll look at for one-on-one interaction. One of the things that came through was, you know, you've got to look at it from a whole system of your operation, and, you know, if the owner is on board, he needs to work with his employees to make sure that they are bought into this, a change in management practice. There is definitely a whole family dynamic. We got a number of quotes where there are multi-generations working on the farm, and certainly, you know, somebody shortly out of college comes back. There was definitely a sense of frustration with, you know, dad or grandpa not wanting to change. And so I think this is an area that will certainly need more work. Labor issues came through, and then, you know, and the challenge of educating fellow producers. And then this whole unwillingness, you know, they all seemed to recognize producers that weren't doing a good job, but they weren't necessarily willing to share their contact information or to call out those fellow producers. So, you know, look at some of the quotes that have come out of this. This one, you know, and this is a producer in that Tablelands region, the conversation of neighbors and drawing information from what a neighbor is doing, seeing how it's working for him, and then adapting that information and bringing it into their own operation. Again, another, you know, along those same that same theme, interacting with others, drawing on their best management practices, the lessons learned, and then incorporating that into their own operations. And then this gets at that buy-in from employees, and I like the end of this. We're not just rotating the cattle to go play cowboy, but that there's a bigger purpose, and sharing that with the entire operation as to why we need to move the cattle. You know, it goes back to the grazing presentation just before the break, and the importance of developing that rotational grazing system, giving the pastures time to rest, managing your stocking rates so that you're not overgrazing. Here we're, it gets to, I know this is one of the things that our extension group on the project has discussed. The audiences that we get many times are better producers that are adopting the best management practices. And so, you know, I think then one of the things that I conclude with is that we do need to do more work on engaging disengaged audiences, our under-engaged or disengaged audiences, so that we are drawing in that larger body so that there ultimately can be more impact. one of Audrey's questions when she closed any of her interviews is, could you share two or three names with us of producers that you see that are doing a good job, but we also asked if they would be willing to share names of producers that they felt had room to improve their best management practices. And, Clarence here, and these are the pseudonyms that have been assigned. Well, I can tell you one, but don't write it down. There's just this whole unwillingness to call out your neighbor, and we even got that from extension agents too, that recognized the producers that had room for improvement but weren't necessarily willing to share their contact information. And so I think this is definitely an area that we can all work on. And then we get into this perception of self and peers. Certainly a recognition of a number of good practices that folks are doing, and a recognition of bad practices or areas for improvement, and this whole sense of different philosophies and concern of government. And so, Blake here, he sees that every operation is different, and we know that from working with producers, but that, there's work that can be done, even the small things like cedar management and the ability to rehabilitate pastures. Andy here, he said, I can take you out and show you the producers, the neighbors that have a different perspective and in his perspective don't manage their forage resources right. A long quote here, but it does get to this concern of government, and I think this is really one of the key underlying factors that needs to be thought about when we're encouraging best management practices. There is, a fear of what additional information government is drawing in when you sign up for, cost share, and, challenges with economics, the ability to, if something isn't working, stop doing it. Alan here states that, he may have cash flow right now, but if he adopts this practice, there's cost share, but there's also a cost that he's having to cover, and so that goes against, the way he views his profit lines. And so, here with, differences in philosophy, the sense that it's your land and that you have the right to do what you want on your operation. And this one, has to do with extension, and that this producer really sees that, for extension to continue to be viable, it is going to have to go through a reshaping, that the land grant college and mission is important, but that he sees different roles. And so looking at a more business model where, in an animal science program, you are bringing in those economics, those small business management programs into the training, and I think this extends into our extension training as well. And so, as I draw this to a close, the opportunities that I see for extension, we really do have an opportunity to continue to be a catalyst for fact-based conversations, supporting those producer interactions, and that came through in the grazing program just that was presented just before the break. Seeking out the un- and disengaged producers, helping them see that, you don't have to adopt everything, that, it's a continuum, And, you know, there are things that a producer can do that don't require them to be involved in cost share programs. And so with that, there's time for a question. I'd be happy to take one. Otherwise,